Chapter 1 Man Mana Bhava. Always think of me. Recently, by the desire of Bhagavan, we had to leave Vrindavan for some time. But wherever we go, we always remember Vrindavan. The scriptures describe many spiritual places, but in the entire Brahmand, there is no place like Vrindavan. He who knows the glories of Vrindavan will understand this. And especially, one who has received the mercy of Vrindavan will understand this. In his Sri Vrindavan Mahimamrita, Sri Prabodhananda Saraswati has written that Vrindavan is our everything, and not just a village of Vrindavan, but the entire Brajmandal, especially Nandagram, Varsana, Radhakund, Shyamakund, Giriraj Govardhan. They are all included within Vrindavan. Sri Krishna and his eternal associates have performed pastimes there, which are thoroughly unique. For understanding these things, the instructions of Bhagavad Gita serve as a foundation. Constructed upon this foundation is the palace of Srimad Bhagavatam, with its 12 floors. There are 9 stories or cantos lower, 2 stories or cantos above, and in the middle is the 10th story or the 10th canto. Inside this, there are 90 different kunjas, which are the chapters of the 10th canto. And in the center of this are 5 special chambers, which are the 5 chapters describing rasa, where Radha and Krishna are enjoying amorous pastimes. It appears that Radhika is serving Krishna, but really Krishna is serving her. As long as the foundation of the instructions of Bhagavad Gita is not there, we will take a mundane understanding of these topics and everything will be ruined. In Gita 18:65, we find this verse: Man manar bhava mad bhakto, madhyaji mam namaskuru, mam evaisyasi satyam te, pritijane priyosime. Absorb your mind and heart in me. Become my devotee. Worship me. Offer your pranam to me, and then certainly you will come to me. I make this promise to you because you are very dear to me. This is the best of all verses in the Bhagavad Gita. We shouldn't consider the following verse, 18:66, to be the best. Sarva dharmam parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarve papabhyo moksha ishyami masuchaha. Give up all forms of religiosity, worldly or otherworldly, bodily or mental, Varnashram Dharm, the worship of demigods and goddesses, and even the worship of Narayan and Dwarkadish, and come exclusively to my shelter. Although this is the final verse, and Krishna is telling us to abandon our Dharma, we may think that some sinful reaction may come to us. But Krishna says, I am responsible for that. I will excuse you from all sins. Making your parents cry, making your brothers and relatives cry, a wife making her husband cry, a husband making his wife cry, not doing our duty to society, and not following Varnashram Dharma is all adharma or non-religious, and sinful reaction will come to anyone who does these things. But Krishna says, I promise that I will at once free you from any sinful reaction. The verse that we will describe here, Man Manar Bhavamad Bhakto, is even better than this verse. The verse Sarva Dharmam Parityaja gives instruction for Saranagati, devotional surrender. But this verse gives the fruit of that surrender and is therefore even more exalted. When we read the Gita thoroughly, and especially when we look through the commentaries of our acharyas, we see that there are five levels of instructions in the Bhagavad Gita. First, there are general instructions for everyone. After this is Guhya, or secret. Then Guhyata, or more secret. Then Guhyatam, or most secret. And finally, Sarva Guhyatam, or the most secret of all secrets. These instructions are not given in an expanded form, but in the form of sutras or condensed verses. Sarva Upanishado Gavo Dogda Gopala Nandana Parto Vatsa Sudhir Bhokta Dugdam Gitam Ritam Mahat. Bhagavad Gita Mahatmya 5. All the scriptures, the Vedas, Puranas, Upanishads, are like a cow, and Arjuna is the calf. First, the cow feeds a little milk to her calf, and she becomes pacified by that. Then the milkman, Sri Krishna, can milk the cow and keep the remainder of the milk aside. Who is the remainder for? Those that are Sudhi, whose intelligence is pure. Whose intelligence is pure? The big scientists, the big scholars of this world? The Bhagavatam doesn't say this. It gives the word Sumedha-aha. And who is Sumedha-aha? A person who performs Bhagavad Bhajan, who is rasik, or expert in relishing rasa. One who has decided that engaging in Bhagavad Bhajan is the essence of life, is purely intelligent, and the rest are simply fools. How are they fools? Gokraha. Amongst the animals, the fool is a donkey. When we were coming from Delhi recently, we saw a dog seated on top of a donkey, just looking around. The donkey was just going on its way in a relaxed fashion. Therefore, the donkey is a big fool. People load all their rubbish and heavy things on the donkey, and it carries them. It doesn't do any work with its front feet, but does everything with its hind legs, such as when it wants to kick someone. If you tell it to go forward, it goes backward. And if you tell it to go backward, it goes forward. Such a fool it is. And similarly, those who don't perform bhajan of Bhagavan are also fools. And who is intelligent? Only those who engage in Bhagavat bhajan. After the cow has first fed her calf a little milk, Krishna keeps the remainder in a pot for those who are Sudhi, of pure intelligence, who are dear to him. Up to here, the milk is the instructions of the Gita. But there is something more. On top of the milk will be the essence, the cream. Churn that, and very soft and beautiful butter will also be produced. Along with the butter also come some things to be discarded. Put the butter on the fire, and in the end, what will we save? Ghee. From ghee, we cannot make another thing. It is the essence. Vyas gave Shukadev the cream and told him, "My son, churn it." Shukadev took a churning stick and slowly churned until butter was produced. He distributed this butter in the form of the first 9 cantos of the Bhagavatam. But some people said, "We will not take butter, we will accept only the essence of butter." So to them he gave the remainder of the Bhagavatam, and therefore the remainder of the Bhagavatam is so much greater. What he gave in the Bhagavatam is apparently nowhere in the Vedas and Upanishads, but actually it is there. In what form is it there? Just as there is ghee spread throughout milk, this essence is in the Gita, Upanishads, Vedas, Puranas, and Ramayana. But taking this milk and then making butter and ultimately ghee is not an ordinary task. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 5 chapters describing the Rasa Leela, the Gopi Geet, the Brahmara Geet, where Radha is speaking to a bumblebee in the madness of separation from Krishna, the Uddhav Sandesh, where Krishna sends Uddhav to Vrindavan with a message for the gopis, are the beautiful ghee which he made. And to whom in this world did he give it? He didn't give it to unqualified people, but exclusively to those who were qualified. For ordinary people, Bhagavan Sri Krishna has said, Yuktahara viharasya, yukta chetasya karamashu, yukta svapnava bodhasya, yoga bhavati dukaha. Bhagavad Gita 6:17. Don't eat or sleep too much, and be regulated in working and recreation. Otherwise, you will not be able to attain that rare yoga wherein a soul meets his creator. In this general knowledge, he has given the knowledge that we are not these bodies. Be detached from the desires of the body and don't act for them. Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityu, dhruvam janma mrityasya cha. Bhagavad Gita 2:27. One who has taken birth will certainly die, and afterward he will certainly take birth again. Arjuna was crying for everyone, for his son, wife, relatives, friends, and we are also crying for this. Asoschyan anavashoschvam, pragyan vadangs cha basase, gatasun agatasums cha, nanu sochanti panditaha. Bhagavad Gita 2:11. Those who are wise despair neither for the living or the dead. Everyone will die, and those that don't go today will go tomorrow or the next day. Don't cry or worry for them, because inside the body is the soul. Nainam chandanti sastrani, nainam dahati parvakaha, na chainam kledayanti apo, na sosyati marutaha. Bhagavad Gita 2:23. The soul cannot be harmed by any weapon, burnt by fire, moistened by water, or withered by the wind. The soul is eternal, but the body is subject to death, so don't be overly concerned about the body. Yes, a man can worry for it like this, after becoming enlightened and realizing that Bhagavan has given this body in the form of a mandir, and for the purpose of performing bhajan, it should be cared for. We should keep it clean and repair it, because otherwise it won't be able to do bhajan. Up to here, caring for the body is all right, but it should be done with a spirit of detachment. In the end, Bhagavan will ask for it back, and it must be returned. He will ask, I have given you such a rare and valuable human form, and what have you done with it? Therefore, he spoke verses like this. Yanisha sarvabhutanam tasyam jagartri samyami yasyam jagrati bhutani sanisha pashyato mune. Bhagavad Gita 2:69. While ordinary people sleep, the sage is awake in self-realization. And while the sage sleeps, ordinary people are awake in sense gratification. Therefore, you should simply engage in Bhagavad Bhajan, and considering happiness and distress to be the same, go on doing your duty. Up to here, it is general instruction. After this comes Guhya, secret instruction, which is Brahmagyan. The Atma is Brahma, spiritual substance. Stita pragnasya cha basya, samadhi statyasya keshava, stita di kim prabhaseta, kim asita rajeta kim. Bhagavad Gita 2:54. Arjuna asks, what are the symptoms of a person whose consciousness is absorbed in Brahma? How does he sit and how does he walk? In the 18th chapter, the conclusion is given. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma na sochati na kanchati, sama sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param. Bhagavad Gita 18:54. One who is situated in Brahma sees Brahma everywhere, and he thinks, I am also Brahma. Thinking such, he will meditate on Brahma and will not experience happiness or distress. He remains steady through whatever comes to him and merges his consciousness in Brahma. Karmani eva dikaraste ma phaleshu kadachena. Bhagavad Gita 2:47. Go on doing your duty and don't desire the fruits of your labor. In an ordinary way, this is Brahma Gyan. After this comes Guhyata, more secret, which is Paramatma Gyan. There are two classes of beings, Kshara or fallible and Aksara or infallible. And then there is Purushottam. Bhagavan is Purushottam, who resides in the hearts of all living entities in the size of a thumb. Meditate on him, and if you don't reach him, try again. Again not reaching him, try again. Klesho dik ataraste sham avyaktasakta chetasam. Bhagavad Gita 12:5. That formless Brahm that I mentioned to you before, don't go there. Beware. There will be more difficulty in trying to attach your consciousness to something formless. Instead, meditate on the Paramatma within the heart, and one who connects with him is a real sannyasi and a real yogi. Sa sannyasi cha yogi cha na niragnir na chakriyaha. Bhagavad Gita 6:1. Just by performing fire sacrifices or by muttering Aham Brahmasmi, one does not become a real sannyasi. This is all Guhyata, more secret. And Guhyatatam, most secret, is given in the 9th chapter. Pure bhakti is given there, but it is devoid of rasa. Although it is pure bhakti, it is not full of rasa. At the end of the 18th chapter, Sarva Guhyatam, the most secret of all secrets, is given. It is full of rasa, and it is the highest limit of bhakti. Sarva Guhyatamam Bhuya Shrinu Me Paramam Vacha Ishtosi Me Dridam Iti Tato Vakshyami Te Hitam Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskaru Mam Evaisyasi Satyam Te Pritijane Priyosime. Bhagavad Gita 18:64-65. Because you are very dear to me, I am telling you this most hidden of all instructions. What is that instruction? Before this, Sri Krishna had explained up to the worship of Narayan, which is worship of Bhagavan, but with awareness of his opulences. However, in this verse, four extraordinary activities are described. The first is Manmana Bhav, always think of me. The second is Mad Bhakto, become my devotee. And the third is Madhyaji, worship me. And the fourth is Mam Namaskaru, offer pranam to me. And if you cannot do the first, then do the second. And if you can't do that, then do the third. And if you can't do that, then just offer pranam, and everything will come from that. Now we will speak on the first part of this verse, Man Mana Bhava, absorb your mind and heart in me. This is not a simple thing. For a man to absorb his mind in any one activity, then his eyes, ears, nose, and all his senses must be completely centered on that. If the mind cannot concentrate on something, it is more or less uncontrolled. Sometimes our mind is pondering sense enjoyment, and sometimes we think about Krishna. This is the conditioned state. But if someone's mind is fully absorbed in the lotus feet of Bhagavan, then that is the highest form of worship. When will this be possible? In the beginning stage of Shraddha or faith, it is not possible. Then the stage of Ruchi or taste will come, and still it won't be possible. After this, we can really begin to give our heart. In the stage of Ashakti or spiritual attachment, we can give perhaps one half of our heart to Him. In the stage of Bhav or devotional ecstasy, maybe we can give three quarters of our heart to Him. But only in the stage of Prem or divine love can we fully give our hearts to Krishna. Therefore, when Krishna is sending Uddhava to the gopis in Vrindavan, in a clever way, not straight but crookedly, he told Uddhava, "Uddhava, my mother and my father are very upset for me. You go and give them my message and console them a little." Uddhava waited there for a moment and then said, "Is there something more?" Krishna thought, "What will I tell him and not tell him?" He became a little worried. After deliberating, he concluded, "If I don't tell him now, when will I tell him?" Then he said, "Yes, there is one thing. There in Vrindavan are the gopis, who are the most dear to me. They have given me their entire hearts, and besides me, they know nothing. For me, they have forgotten all their bodily needs and bodily functions." What is the condition of someone who has forgotten all bodily needs? They have forgotten eating and drinking, bathing and decorating themselves with ornaments and clothing, and fixing their hair. Their bodies will certainly have become thin and weak. And just see how, for me, they have forgotten all of their bodily relations, husbands, sons, friends, brothers, wealth and property. They have no love for anyone but me. And day and night, they are deeply remembering me. Uddhav, in this world, you have not seen such an example of how one person can give their heart to another. Somehow or other, they are holding on to their lives. Their life airs have risen up to their necks. And how much longer can they live like this? I don't know if they can be saved or not. Therefore, go quickly and save their lives. Go and give them my message that I am definitely coming tomorrow or the next day. For this, they are holding on to their lives. They will think, Krishna has said that he is coming, and he is not able to tell a lie. Clutching onto this hope, it is as if their lives are hanging on a limb. If the limb breaks, they will fall down, meaning they will give up their lives, so go quickly. Therefore, the gopis are the perfect example of Manmana Bhava. Now listen to an example of how Krishna takes someone's heart. We understand that giving our heart to someone is very difficult. But if instead someone takes our heart, then it becomes very easy. Otherwise, we are simply unable to give our hearts. In the Katha Upanishad 1.2.23, it says, "Nayam atma pravachena labhyo, na mediya na buhano shrutena, yam evaisya vrinute tena labhyas, tasye sa atma vivrinute tanum svyam." Shri Krishna will select a heart which is dear to him and then say, "You come, I will take your heart." Even if we really desire to give him our heart, it is very difficult. But if he desires to take our heart, then it is possible. But we must make our heart to be such that when Krishna sees us, it will inspire greed within him. The heart must be pure in all ways. If there is any impurity remaining there, he will not take it. But pure purity is also not sufficient. The hearts of so many jnanis are also pure. We must add some special fragrance, which, reaching Krishna's nose, will attract him. bhakti ras should be flowing in the heart. How does Krishna take a heart? This story will show how. Krishna was taking the cows out to graze for the day in Vrindavan. His bodily complexion was the color of a dark rain cloud. His curly black hair was dangling on his face, and he appeared very, very beautiful and charming. His friends were spread out in the four directions, chanting Sadhu, Sadhu, meaning excellent, excellent, and praising Krishna, and singing and playing their flutes and horns. As they were going along like this, even the blind people of Braja would come out and try and see. One would say, "Where are you going?" Someone would reply, "I am going to have darshan of Sri Krishna. Take my hand, let's go." And with great eagerness they would go. All the people of Braj surrounded the road to see Krishna taking the cows out to graze. Mother Yashoda and Nanda Baba were following behind Krishna, saying, "My son, come back soon. Don't go too far away." Time and again, Krishna told them to return. And finally, when he promised that he would return later in the day, they slowly went back to their homes. There were so many newly married girls there who had just arrived in Braj to live in the homes of their new husbands. They all went to the doors of their homes to catch a glimpse of Krishna. Some were even peering through the vents. Some climbed up on the roofs, and others climbed the tops of trees in the kunjas. Krishna was also searching. He always wants to see new girls. In one house, there was a new girl who had just been married 2 or 3 days before. She had heard a long time before how marvelously beautiful Krishna appears when he is taking the cows out to graze. When she heard Krishna coming with the cows, in her heart she became very restless and eager to have his darshan. But her new mother-in-law and sister-in-law were sitting outside the door, and her new sister-in-law was especially nasty towards her. They were both telling her, "You are not going, we are going, but you cannot. There is a black snake out there, and if it bites you, you will never be able to remove its poison. Therefore stay in the house, we will be back soon." The girl said, "Where are you going? And I will just sit here in the house? I will also go." "No," they said, "it's dangerous, don't go. Your heart is very immature, and you will never remove the snake's poison. You just sit here." "No, still I will go with you." "No," they replied, "it's dangerous, you won't go." "Then I will go alone. All the wives, elderly people, boys, girls, beasts, and insects of Braj are going for darshan of Krishna. And in Vrindavan, I alone will not receive his darshan? Certainly I will go." "No," they replied, "you won't go." "I am certainly going. Even if you throw me out of this household, I will go." Then, seeing that Krishna was coming near, the mother-in-law and sister-in-law quickly ran to see. When they left, the girl stepped forward and began peering out through the crack in the door. Her position was that she could see out, but no one could see her. Krishna was holding the flute to his lips and playing so sweetly that it seemed the nectar of his heart was emanating through the holes of his flute and inundating the entire area of Vrindavan. Those eyes which have not seen this should be set on fire. Only the eyes which have seen this beautiful scene are successful. The gopis were offering arati to Krishna, not with lamps, but with their eyes. How? Their eyes were like lamps, and the prema in their hearts was like the oil. Their eyes were burning as they circled Krishna's form with loving sidelong glances, and they performed archan of Krishna with these glances. With great happiness, Krishna became shy and accepted all of them. But he was looking in the direction of that one door. Krishna may or may not want to see someone, but if someone really wants to see him, he will certainly see that person. That day, he wanted to see that new girl first of all. He wanted to leave everyone else behind and go there immediately. So just then, he played a trick with a calf. Grabbing the tail of the calf, he gave it a twist, and the calf ran directly to that door, as if it had been trained for that very purpose. At once, Krishna and the calf arrived at that door. Standing in his threefold bending posture, with the flute to his lips and smiling, he gave his darshan to that girl. Finished. Her very heart came out from her, and he took it and went on his way. She could only stand motionless. This is taking a heart. Man mana bhava. If someone attains the mercy of Krishna, then certainly he will take their heart. If we are especially eager, wondering in our minds, when will I be able to see the beautiful form of Sri Krishna? Then Krishna will be so pleased and come and take our hearts. That girl had performed austerities for millions of years for this opportunity, and that day she became completely successful. She was left standing motionless, and 15 or 20 minutes passed. Krishna had left and entered the forest, and the dust raised by the cows and boys had long settled. She was still standing motionless, because without her heart or mind, she was helpless. Then the cruel sister-in-law said to her, "The black snake, Shyamasundara, has bitten you, and now you will never remove that poison." Shaking the girl, somehow she managed to bring her inside the house. "Here, take this churning stick and churn some yogurt. By doing some hard work, your mind will return to you." But the girl took the wrong pot and instead began churning mustard seeds, and it made a terrible noise. Sometimes she would churn and sometimes she would stop. Where was her mind and heart? Krishna had taken them. Man mana bhava. Again the sister-in-law came and said, "Hey, what are you doing? I will go and complain to my mother about you." At once the mother-in-law came and said, "Lift up this pot, go and bring water." They placed a large pot on her head, and on top of that a smaller pot. They also gave her a small child and said, "Look after this child and see that he doesn't cry." They put a long rope in her hand to lower the pots down into the well and sent her off. Like this, she went off to the well. Arriving at the well, she made a noose for lowering the pot down into the well, but instead of wrapping the noose around the pot, she put it around the child as if she was going to lower him into the well. Everyone nearby shouted, "Hey, what are you doing?" They came running over and, taking the rope from her hands, saved the child. One gopi said, "It appears that a ghost has possessed her." Another gopi, who knew everything, said, "It wasn't just an ordinary ghost, it was the ghost of Nanda." Vrindavan is the place for those who are unable to give their hearts to their children and family. They leave everyone crying for them, and like refugees come to Vrindavan and cry exclusively for Krishna. Even very fine sons and daughters of kings come to Vrindavan, give their hearts to Krishna, and engage in bhajan. Krishna told Arjuna, "This is man mana bhava. Absorb your mind in me as the gopis did." Arjuna replied, "Prabhu, this is a battlefield. How is it possible for me to give my heart here? You have told me to fight against Grandfather Bhishma, Dronacharya and Karna. Therefore I am unable to do it." Next he will explain Mad Bhakto, become my devotee. Thus ends chapter 1 of the Nectar of Govinda Leela.